D&D Dungeons Academy, No Humans Allowed. Written by Madeline Rue. Illustrated by Tim Probert. Harper Publishing. Chapter 15. Read by Lachman. Now, with the benefit of a brightening sky, Zelly could see clearly the churned dirt overlooked just outside the cave. To the west, waves crashed far beyond jagged rocks, and to the east, the forest spread out tall and intimidating, the solitary trees at the very edge standing like sharpened pikes guarding a dark, sleepy town. A path carved its way through the woods, its mud splattered with purple ooze and covered in tracks. The villagers huddled there just off the path, all of them avoiding the remains of alchemy that had put them under the necromancer's control. And, of course, south and south again lay just the vaguest imprint of the dull and uninteresting mountain they called home. She hadn't expected to go far and then yearn for it, for the same old but she did. Alidora Stillstrike inspected each of her companions with a wary, lifted bow, watching as Hugo swept Zelly into a tight embrace, then remembered her arm and set her down gently.
"Oh, forgive me. Forgive me," Hugo cried.
Snabla raised his shield in salute to Zelly, while Flash popped out Hugo's bag to give the girl a big, long lick on the cheek before returning the safest of the backpack. Or the safety of the backpack, rather. After seeing all of this, Alidora hitched her baldric higher and gave Zelly a nod. What that nod meant, Zelly would ponder for a long time.
"I'm taking a jar of this stuff back to my guild," Stillstrike said. "Carrion wasn't the first necromancer spotted in this region, and he won't be the last. Whomever he serves will come looking for him soon."
She shook her head and began wandering toward the villagers, preparing to be their guide for the journey back to their charred homes. Roofs could be mended and walls could be remade, but the absence of those who went through the portal would be felt until they were found, if ever.
"Somehow, Zelidora, I don't think this will be the last time we meet."
"Zelly,"
she corrected her. Standing close to her friends, she took out the little tail she had worn in her school days, crumpled but intact, and tucked it into the back of her trousers. Steelstrike snorted softly.
"Right."
When the woman was a safe distance away, Snabla whispered, or whipped his head, rather, around and glared up at Zelly.
"Human go with human. Why still here?"
"I don't know,"
she said, half meaning it.
"Zelly's Stormclass just has a better ring to it."
Hugo's beak split into a grin, his head cocking to the side, and his feathers ruffling around his neck.
"You traversed the maze," said the owlbear, "and found the Minotaur."
Rolling her eyes, Zelly dragged her exhausted body back toward the cave, kneeling to inspect the wet purple ooze gathered on the skeleton they had defeated there.
"That's so corny."
But she didn't say it wasn't true.
"We should take our own glob of that,"
Bobble piped up from Hugo's bag. Tucked there again with their now steady companion, Flash, the blink dog had tried herself out with all the antics and skeleton saying and dozed softly, whiskers fluttering with each soft rumbling snore.
"The Academy professors will want to study it."
"Where are the others?"
Zelly asked, standing and squinting into the horizon as it split open, the golden light there widening, casting in gleaming haze across the overlook.
"There!"
Hugo pointed down the coastline. The villagers had already filtered back into the woods, led astray by Alidora Steelstrike. Zelly caught one last glimpse of her cape before the adventurer, the horrible human in the flesh, was gone, As Zelly peered into the sunrise, a round, blobber form sharpened into the silhouette of Dean Zaxtus, the beholder floating along the coast toward them. Their lost and found classmates, Patty and Gutrash, were with him, as well as Professor Cantrip caught in the gelatinous cube, as well as a rather ornate carriage which Zelly quickly realized was the mimic Professor Impro Vice. The bugbear and goblin appeared dazed and glazing at the professor with what Zelly could only consider a lost puppy expression.
"Professors!"
Bobble exclaimed, bouncing along on Hugo's back as they all hurried to meet the adults down the coast. Round immense quivering tentacles, Dean Zaxtus, one cunning eye, inspected them all from top to bottom. His gaze lingered on Zelly, hornless, her tail tucked on but askew, and her shoulder quite obviously bleeding through a makeshift bandage.
"It appears we were not the first to launch an investigation," Professor Cantrip burbled from inside the green ooze. "Cliff and Stormcloak, concerns were well-founded."
"Indeed,"
the dean boomed. They quavered under his sight and his scolding tone. Hugo, in particular, appeared ready to bolt for the woods in fright, but the beholder's voice softened, his spherical body swishing side to side as if shaking his head.
"By all the gods and oaths, what were you for thinking?"
His attention traveled back to Zelly, but she froze.
"But we saved them,"
Bobble blurted out, only just visible over Hugo's shoulder.
"We only wanted to save our classmates."
Their voice dwindled into a squeak.
We're heroes."
"Heroes, indeed,"
cried Improvise, angry eyes now glaring at them from the carriage front box.
"Bobble, Inferma, Touchnock the 47th, when your spawn parent hears of this."
"But it's true,"
rasped Gutrash the goblin, glancing nervously from professor to professor.
"When I could think again with my own mind, I saw them there, standing victorious over the necromancer."
He pointed to the slumped and limp form of Lord Carrion, who Hugo had unceremoniously deposited next to the cave mouth.
"It was them!"
If the testimonies of Patty and Gutrash weren't sufficient, then the state of Lord Carrion ought to be proof enough of their involvement. Before leaving him for professors to deal with, Snabla had insisted on using a bit of Hugo's pack strap to tie a sign around the necromancer's neck that read simply, "Stinky." Bubble had begrudgingly helped with the spelling.
"They vanquished him,"
Patty added. Sheerer than Gutrash, apparently crowd and code by commanding presence of the beholder.
"They did it with the human adventurer."
She then stared deliberately at Zelly's hornless head, the truth of her human nature drawing on the bugbear, albeit slowly. At that, Zelly stepped suspiciously behind Hugo, hiding.
"Most interesting. Most interesting. However this feat was accomplished, we owe these students our respect."
His tone shifted, more pointed, sterner, and he seemed to direct this to Patty and Gutrash most of all.
"I expect there will be no specific discussion on how the necromancer was defeated once we return to campus, and furthermore, I will require you all, to meet with our counselor, Nihaldris."
Nihalatris, Counselor Nihalatris, after this most troubling event. Gutrash groaned and rolled his eyes, but Patty elbowed him hard in the stomach. Nobody wants to get called to the counselor's office. Nihalatris, the mind flayer, would twirl his eerie tentacles around his fingers and brood and never dispense guidance so much as to burn guidance directly into the brain. Zelly couldn't help but worry that Patty and Gutrash wouldn't listen to the principal or the counselor, and that her secret, her human secret, would soon be an open one. She always suspected the staff knew, on some level, and that they said nothing as a favor to Kiffin. Zelly's status as the sole Minotaur on campus had allowed her to remain mysterious and strange, but now she would be the center of attention. At last, the beholder's attention switched to the unconscious necromancer behind them.
"It seems I have much to discuss with the staff, and much to discern. We will collect this necromancer and return to the academy so that he may be questioned."
"The adventurer seemed convinced of more necromancers in the area," said Bobble, finding their voice again. "Some of the students went through a portal he conjured, but we don't know where he intended to take them."
"He spoke of a master," stammered Hugo.
"Stinky master,"
agreed Snabla.
"A lord building an army of souls, coming to take all the villagers and students."
"Students? Grave."
Dean Zaxtus went rigid, and Zelle noticed the other professors did too. Were they afraid?
"Most grave. We have much to do if we are to locate these abducted students."
Then he paused and said very clearly, "We, as in your professors, there will be no more heroics from the four of you. And do not consider your success immunity from punishment," the dean growled. "There will be consequences for breaking curfew and leaving the school grounds, even if your intentions were noble."
He fixed his one big eye and all his many tentacles, eye stalks on Zelly again, and she knew their conversation was far from over. She could only imagine what they all must have thought when their absence was clear and her goodbye note discovered. Facing the dean, she thought, wasn't half so terrifying as facing her mother's. The dean then floated away to inspect the necromancer while Professor Cantrip took Patty and Gutrash aside to question them. Impro Vice followed them, no doubt prepared to be the method of conveyance for their captive.
"Stupid grown-ups. Why trouble for us? We help. We save."
Snabla kicked at the dirt with his little clawed feet.
"I think we're just lucky we're not expelled,"
Zelly sighed. She rubbed at her eyes with one hand and yawned. They were each of them covered in mud, muck, and pulverized bone, clothes torn and knees scraped.
"I hope Saxus can teleport us back. I don't think I can walk one more step."
"And you are sure about all this?" Hugo asked, beaming down at her. "None of us would think less of you if you wanted to go and join your kind."
"Snabla would think less,"
the kobold shrieked.
"Yes,"
she chuckled, watching Snabla thrust his arms crossly over her chest.
"Yes. I'm sure. Besides, you're my adventuring party now, right? And you never split the party."
That concludes Chapter 15 of D&D Dungeons Academy No Humans Allowed. Written by Madeline Rue, illustrated by Tim Probert. Harper Publishing.
Read by Larkman.